Greetings, beloved. This week is a little different. Instead of a long sermon, we read two children's books and invited Miss Christina from Woodhome to share a little bit and lead a discussion about what does it mean to embody kindness in this season of new beginnings. And so I hope you enjoy the recording from this week. It does end with a short sermon, but I wanted to have something a little more substantial for the podcast this week, so I hope you enjoy. So since we are starting a new year, starting the narrative lectionary, all of the startings of the things, right? I brought my backpack for the blessing of the backpacks, but if you didn't bring yours, that's fine. Let me see in here. Okay. So we're going to start with a book, When God Made the World. And so I'd like to invite anyone that wants to see the images, regardless of age, to come on up and join me if you want to be able to see the pictures in the book. Connor, do you want to see it? Because you usually like the art. I was too lazy to scan the entire book into the slides. That, and I think Drennan would have words with me if I added this many slides to the slide deck. All right. And I don't think I've read this one before, so hopefully I haven't. And if I have, I apologize. I didn't remember what was in the book, so hopefully you didn't either if I've read it before. So When God Made the World, it's by Matthew Paul Turner, illustrated by Gillian Gamble. And for those of you who have been around for a while, it is in memory of Rachel Held Evans, who I have talked about multiple times. So in the very beginning, before anything was, before God started doing what it is God does, when all that existed was wide open space, God imagined a universe and began to create. And for those that didn't want to come and see it now and you want to see it later, I'll have it with me on the way out because there's fun illustrations, right? I got a small yeah from Paxton, so that must mean yes. God hung trillions of light, stars big and stars bright. God turned the dark sky into glorious sight. God put planets in places with moons in some cases, and galaxies that reach the outermost spaces. God made comets that fly with tails through the sky, and asteroids and meteors that sometimes zoom by. And with cosmic explosions, God set space in motion, causing planets to orbit their suns with devotion. And somewhere amid the swirling light, inside a cluster of milky white, among stars and planets and cosmic dust, God made a place for the story of us. Because when God made the world, God displayed heaven's glory for you and for me and for all the world's stories. Our planet God made a blue and green sphere and designed it to orbit the sun once a year. God made daytime and nighttime, climates and seasons, and all kinds of weather that varies by region. God made continents and oceans, islands and seas, a north and south pole that God put in deep freeze. God carved rivers and brooks, mountains and caves, made benches with sand, beaches with sand, and huge crashing waves. God made tropics and plateaus, glaciers and meadows, marshes and tundras, and erupting volcanoes. God made some places high with peaks in the sky and places where snowflakes still fall in July. And in quite a few spots, God made it so hot. Should you visit, just know you must drink a lot. God makes valleys so low and geysers that blow. And under Earth's surface, God put springs that flow. Then with gardens and forests and other things green, God made Earth come to life using soil and seed. God made cypress and pines, bushes and vines, all kinds of trees with leaves God designed, plants full of flavor like basil and thyme, and trees that grow citrus like grapefruit and lime. God made flowering plants and plants that enchant. While most you can touch, God made some you can't. Roses be warned are prickly with thorns, and there's African melon god covered in horns. And poison ivy's backlash, giving you a rash. Wherever it touches, you'll itch and you'll scratch. But don't let that stop you. Run barefoot through the grass, pick a flower or two or a bouquet, perhaps. Find a tree you can climb with a seat and some twine, build your very own swing or a backyard zip line. And when you eat grapes or pour syrup on crepes, bless you, or into a forest you go to escape, give thanks to God for all that God made, for the fruit and the syrup, for the trees and the shade, because when God made the world, God did all that God could to create every detail for our joy and our good. Now what happened next is a mystery at best, but God made a bird, and that bird made a nest. So God filled the sky, perhaps over time, with birds and more birds, and most learned how to fly. God made bluebirds and blackbirds, big birds and small birds, a few birds quite absurd, and the loudest birds you've ever heard. Crows crowed, doves cooed, chickens clucked, owls hooed. Robins chirped, pheasants whirred. The world got noisy when God made birds. Then the oceans God filled with fish, sharks, and krill, creatures God made with fins and with gills, swordfish and trout, fish sleek with fish stout, and whales that God made to breathe through a spout. God made sea rays and eels, fish red, yellow, or teal, and some fish so odd they hardly look real, like a fish that has fangs or a monster-like face, or a fish that flies or makes its body inflate. And wherever a river, ocean, or sea touches dry land, there's likely to be all sorts of creatures living their lives on land and in water. That's how they survive. Like otters and frogs, turtles on logs, and crocodiles gathering in swampy bogs. And when God made cows, horses, and goats, and God made gibbons with inflatable throats, God planned lions to roar and tigers to pounce, and kangaroos, God thought, let's make you bounce. God made bears to growl, moles to plow, and under full moons, coyotes to howl. Donkeys brayed, giraffes bleated, jaguars prayed, rhinos stampeded. Bunnies hopped, beavers chopped, and in muddy pools, hippos plopped. Yes, all living creatures, from whales to snails, from those covered with feathers to those covered with scales, each God designed with a home in mind to develop and evolve if needed over time. Because when God made the world, every creature on earth became a part of life's circle, having value and worth. And God made people, people like you and me, people with souls, people with stories, a global family tree. God made us all flesh and bone, covered in skin, and made all our bodies to have hearts beating within. God gave us bellies and legs, fingers and toes, and fashioned our faces with eyes, mouth, and a nose. God made our bodies uniquely equipped for walking and talking, to eat and to skip. God wired our brains to feel love and feel pain, to process and learn, to read and retain. But despite all we share, we're also unique. God made us all human with just a few tweaks. Each of our faces, bodies, and traits, our skin tones, our features, God did create. God made some people shy and some people loud, some who thrive in the midst of a crowd. Some make music and some like math, and some are prone to blaze their own path. But always remember, this much is true. God had a purpose for making you. So use every gift, every talent or shtick. Make the world better with your God-given trick. Bring smiles to faces, show love and good graces to those who need hope in all different places. Discover a star, a planet, or moon, or help keep a forest from dying too soon. Save a whale, hug a tree, protect every bee. Recycle, repurpose, reject apathy.
Because all of creation whispers God's story. The mountain, the ocean, the blue morning glory, the raindrops, the sunshine, the grapes on the grapevine. With nature, God gives us a glimpse of the divine. And just like a star might showcase God's light, or a waterfall might give us a sign of God's might, the same could be said of me and you. How we live, how we love, tells God's story too. Because when God made the world and the world started spinning, the story God wrote was just a beginning. Well, any thoughts before I... It's long, yeah. They also were with me for like a half hour before the service, so they're like, I don't know if I want to talk to you right now, which is fine. But it is convenient that they're up here already. I put my little light in there, which is nice. So I want to invite everyone that is going back to school, either teaching or learning or whatever, to come up if you'd like. We've got little backpack tags for everybody. And we're going to do a little blessing over the backpacks and backpack tags. Got any more teachers? And then we'll bless the other ones too, because why not? Awesome. Is that Minecraft? Oh, yep. Nice. My nephew's birthday was last week. And my niece made it very clear that I had to see the Minecraft banner that was up for birthdays. All right. You'll notice that this one is nice and simple. It's an extension of our scripture and our story today. We, as created beings created in love, get to be loved, be kind, and be ourselves throughout the whole year. And then on the back, there's a spot where you can actually put your name on it and make it useful. And I'll put one on my bag eventually, too. And so this is a nice repeat after me blessing for the beginning of the year. Sound good? Caring God.
Caring God.
We offer these backpacks.
Offer these backpacks.
Both these here and at home.
These here and at home.
As a sign of our thanks. For all you will do,
with us and for us,
this year at school,
we bless these backpacks
as companions to us,
as we learn and grow.
May they carry food for bodies,
and food for thought.
Let them be a reminder
that you are as close to us
as the backpack on our back.
Always,
and
forever.
Amen. Now, if you'd like, you can have a seat. And then we've got another story leading into the next part, but this one's conveniently a video, and I forgot to warn Dave. So, Dave, did you unmute the computer part already? And then when you click again, it should start. This is Nobody Hugs a Cactus.
Thanks for joining Toadstools and Fairy Dust for a prickly book called Nobody Hugs a Cactus by Carter Goodrich. Hey, be sure to subscribe and thumbs up this video. It's free. Hank lived in a pot. The pot sat in a window. The window looked out at an empty desert. It was hot, dry, peaceful and quiet, just the way Hank liked it. But every now and then, somebody would interrupt Hank's peace and quiet.
Hiya, Hank!
Rosie the Tumbleweed called out.
Isn't it a beautiful day?
Hank ignored her. He just wanted to be left alone.
Okay, so long,
said Rosie cheerfully. As she tumbled away, Hank was happy again. But just as he was beginning to relax,
hello,
shouted a tortoise.
A private property,
yelled Hank.
Keep out.
The tortoise was so frightened he hid in his shell. Hank was still yelling at the tortoise when a jackrabbit dashed by.
Hiya, Prickles,
she shouted.
My name isn't Prickles,
Hank yelled back.
And stay out of my yard. Tumbleweeds, tortoises, jackrabbits, what's next?
Said Hank. A coyote came loping by.
No dogs allowed,
Hank yelled.
I'm not a dog, said the coyote. And you are as prickly on the inside as you are on the outside.
Before Hank could yell back at the coyote, a cowboy strode past.
Keep off the grass,
shouted Hank.
What grass? Said the cowboy. Seems to me somebody needs a hug. Too bad nobody hugs a cactus.
Hi,
said a lizard.
Who invited you?
Said Hank.
And just in case you're wondering, I don't want a hug.
Oh, that's good,
said the lizard.
Because I don't want to give you one.
And then he skittered away. An owl landed on the roof.
If you're looking for a hug,
said Hank,
well, I guess I could give you one.
Who, me?
Said the owl.
You must be joking.
Okay.
And for the first time, Hank began to feel a little lonely. The next morning, Hank was feeling more sad on the inside than prickly.
Maybe a hug wouldn't be so bad after all.
The wind began to pick up. An old cup blew by and stuck to Hank's face. His arms were too short to get it off.
Great, said Hank.
After a while, Rosie came bouncing by.
I'll get it off of you, Hank,
she shouted, and she jumped up and knocked the cup off of Hank's face. Ooh. Then she tumbled away.
See you later.
Hank didn't have time to thank Rosie. He felt bad about all the other times he had been so rude to her. So he came up with a plan. Hank decided to grow the best flower he could and then give it to Rosie as a thank you gift. It took days, but at last it was ready. He couldn't wait for Rosie to pass by again. Then, at last, she finally did come bouncing back. Hank held out the flower.
Hey, look, Rosie,
he said.
I grew it just for you.
Rosie was so surprised, she jumped up and gave Hank a great big hug. It felt so nice. Hank didn't want to let go. And as things turned out, he couldn't. Rosie and Hank had become stuck together. But they didn't care. After all, it's better to be stuck in a hug than to be stuck all alone. The end.
So, my understanding is that that's a book that Arnolia got for Woodhome. I'll pass it off to you. We have Miss Kristana. Now, here's the fun thing. I have heard people call you Kristana and Kristana to the point where I don't know which one is right anymore. And you respond to both, which is the problem. Which one's the right
one? Kristana.
Kristana. Yes. Okay. That's what I thought, but then I felt wrong enough. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And I was foolish enough that I taught one of my students, it was Anna was her name, and I was like, is it Anna or Anna? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, well, what do they call you at home? She's like, yeah. And so I called her Anna Anna every day. Because I think it's appropriate to like know the right way to say things. So, and since I couldn't remember, I felt like I could at least demonstrate that as we're talking about kindness today.
Thank you.
So,
thank you for having me. Thank you. Yost asked me to come and just say a little something since it's Blessing of the Backpacks. Yes, Arnolia gifted us that book, so I thought it was appropriate to show that. I work at the preschool. I'm responsible for the joyful chaos 5 days a week in the hallways. I think that I am here really just to with new beginnings, the theme of new beginnings, and every school year we start new. Every school year we have new children coming in. They have, their own little reasons why they're a little nervous about school. And I love this backpack tag because it's be loved, be kind, be you, and that's really what preschool's all about. And it's funny how we talk about kindness all the time at preschool. It's really a theme every day, using kind words, and it really got me thinking about how we sort of promote that as in our adulthood and as our children get older through school, and how that's really an important theme all the way through school. Even though it's such a theme in preschool, it really should continue through. So I think our goal is really just to kind of hear from you a little bit and hear what kindness means to you. And if you want to elaborate, that would be great. Oh, open-ended. Okay, great. Oh, I have a... Yeah, you're right. I'm not a very good speller, so I'll let you write. Does anybody want to share anything?
Helping others.
I have a, I'm going to say showing grace, which is listening. Oh, good one. I have to show grace every day because I work with twos, threes, and fours. Patience. Sharing. Sharing is caring. Oh, good one. Cooperation.
Empathy.
Teaching and belonging. Understanding. Acceptance. That's a pretty good list. That's a really good list.
And we'll add this to our hallway.
Yes. And I think it's a great list as we go into a school year and we think about our children and our local schools and how we can promote all of those things.
Cool. Well, thanks.
And I like the theme of the whole hug at the end and how important that is. And I always think, like, just the simple hug in preschool goes so far. And yeah. I just wanted to kind of say that out loud, too, like, as we move forward with kindness. Maybe if it's not a physical hug, but just remember, all those things.
Yeah. And the same even, like, high school, because I taught for 13 years, and even the high schoolers, sometimes just offering it, like, do you need a hug? Helps kind of shed that weight that we carry. All right, so I will be brief for this part. The people with my notes know that I have to be brief. I don't have a whole lot on the paper. God, thank you so much for all of creation that sings of your glory, that leads us along with your Spirit, to be your love for all. So may we tap into that just a little bit more in this time together. Amen. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. The Hebrew phrase here is tohu wabohu. And another way of thinking about this is that the earth was both chaos and empty at the same time. And within this chaos, God begins to create containers for life and vitality on the first 3 days. The skies, the seas, the dry land with plants that have seeds. And then on days four through six, God adds more life to these containers. Birds, sea creatures, land animals, and humans are all given the tools required to participate in creation, to continue to bring forth abundant life. And when God created humanity, God called them very good, or the Common English Bible translation that we read today says supremely good, which I think is nice, right? And God called humanity to give, to have dominion, or take charge, or take care of all of creation, which includes all of the holy wild, both our fellow humans and beyond human creation. And humans are supposed to exercise this rule in the same way that God had done beforehand. When we were watching a video on this passage this morning during Bible study, one of the gents said, "Yeah, but we haven't done a good job about that." I'm like, yeah. So God calls us to continue the work of creating containers within the chaos of our world so that life can exist in abundance. This could be really simple things like creating a small space where life can continue to be abundant, creating a small conversation in the midst of the heaviness of someone's life to be able to be there with them. So they can take that breath, they can have that hug in the midst of the chaos. We also know that the holy wild is worth our protection, care, and attention, not just because God created it, but because knowing the holy wild helps us to know God. Many theologians across church history have referred to two books that are the primary sources for hearing and for teaching about God. While the Bible is most widely known, creation is largely considered the first book through which God has communicated God's self with humanity. Which is why our little collective art experiment today is just, what's the thing that God created, or what's the thing in nature that you love the most? Because those are the things that tell us about the divine. In my systematics class, which is really just like thinking of like how do we talk about God in full systems things, my professor told me that the beauty of creation is that creatures doing their thing that they're created to do is an act of worship. And so we can learn what worship looks like by paying attention to the holy wild. That cows being cows and not trying to be fish teaches us about the divine. And so originally I was going to wheel that huge dry erase board all the way up here. And then remember, we have communion, so we're not going to make your life easier, you can add it to the whiteboard. There's magnets up there. You can do that on your way out, and we'll have a cool collective art this week, and I'll take a picture of it and post it, because I'm going to remember to post the picture this time as opposed to the last time when people took pictures for me. So let us pray. God, we are grateful for a creation that surrounds us in a world that feels so chaotic, to remind us of where to pause and find your spirit around us. May your holy wild not just be something that we feel called to take care of, but a way in which we can experience your love, so that we can then go and be your liberating love for those who surround us. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.